Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Open Door. Glad to have y'all here this morning with us. So we're still running with partial band here, so you guys have guitars and drums. So if anybody thinks rock concert, I'm with you, but probably not today. So, but glad to have y'all here. So how many people like the stories of Jesus? Hey, man, everybody likes stories of Jesus. Well, our first song we're going to do, we haven't played in quite a while, but it is one of my favorite stories of Jesus. So we all please stand and sing along with us. Last night we caught nothing, but all our trying of the morning and the light. And then I saw him, and he asked me to take him out a little ways from the land. He started teaching all the people, and they listened there in silence on the sand. Just come and follow, 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 come and follow. Simon, go out farther, cast your nets once again into the sea. And I said, Master, we've been working since the sundown of yesterday. But one more time, I'll throw them over just because it's you. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Now James and John, they are my witnesses to the truth in what I've told, and how our nets filled to bursting more than both our boats could ever hold. And I fell down there before him, crying, leave me, Lord, I'm full of sin. Said, Simon, don't be frightened, follow me, you'll learn to fish for man. Just come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me, come and was a song I learned years and years ago back when I was a young kid, first became a Christian, and it stuck with me all these years, the stories of Jesus. We all bow your heads, we open up with a prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that you saved us, that you called us unto you, and you called us your own. You called us to follow you, God. And Lord, we are doing that here this morning. And I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us, upon our service, upon our worship, upon the baptisms today, and upon your holy word, which your pastor is going to bring to us today, God. Speak powerfully through him and into us. And I thank you for it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here today, and we have a true blessing here coming today, and the blessings are going to still keep coming today, even after this. So, but it's always a good day when we can be in the baptismal waters. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we have a young lady that's going to be baptized this morning, and most of you will recognize her, and her name is Danica Ramsey. No, she said, I love her. She says, Danica. I told her, I said, if I look at you and I can't remember your name, then you got to say your name. I was hesitating until you got to the door. I mean, I remembered your name. Thank you. Well, Danica, it is a privilege to be standing here with you today. Danica is making me feel really, really old right now. Because I had her mama all the way through youth group. And now she's done had Danica, and Danica has come all the way through youth group with Richie and all, and Cynthia and all them. And now she's standing here before us, and it is a true blessing for this to be happening today. So I've known Danica for a long, long time, and I've seen fruit in her life for a while. And she doesn't talk a whole lot, but she does a lot more than she talks. That's a lesson for all of us, just selling it right there, right? But Danica has turned 18, and she is going to sign on to serve in the church as a substitute teacher. And so I talked to her, and I said, well, then you have some decisions that you need to make. And I explained to her, and she said, I'm in. So that's in a nutshell, right? Okay. So here we are, right? So, Danica, do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you invited him into your heart for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
You profess him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Okay, Danica, upon your profession of faith and your belief in Jesus Christ, I'm now going to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You need to start praying for her, young believer that wants to follow Christ and wants to serve Christ. You know who's going to come after her, right? Pray for her, all right? Thank you.
Y'all can stay seated just for a little bit. We have a few more announcements for you. Pam?
Good morning. Today and throughout September, we will collect money for the Olacock State Mission Offering, which supports missions and churches here in the state of West Virginia. The Olacock Offering supports missions throughout West Virginia, including church missions and evangelism needs, age-level retreats, and missions education. The offering also supports associational partnerships, as each of the 10 Southern Baptist associations in the state receive a portion of what is collected by the churches. Also, money collected provides church planting startup funds, church emergency funds, disaster relief funds, and more. The state goal is $100,000, and our church's goal is $4,000. Open Door was started using Olacock funds, and our church may benefit from Olacock State Mission Offering in the future. Your giving helps to start other churches here in West Virginia and helps establish churches with unexpected emergencies. If you would like to give today, you will find envelopes in the pews in front of you. Today begins the week of prayer for the Olacock offering. In your bulletins, you will find a list of prayer points for various Southern Baptist events and entities within West Virginia. Please take time to pray for these needs. Also in your bulletins, you will find a prayer calendar for the month of September. Please pray for each of the needs noted daily on the calendar. Please also pray that money collected will be used wisely, which will bring the gospel to more people in this state. Thank you for your prayers and for your generosity.
Thank you, Pam and Richie.
All right, good morning, everybody. Just some quick announcements. For those of you who didn't already know, today is Move Up Sunday, which means all of the kids have moved into their next grades and into their next classrooms. That also means that all of the youth group members, so that is anybody who is in 7th grade, 8th grade, all the way up to a senior in high school, you guys are now in youth group. We do youth group 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Sunday nights. You want to be there. Don't want to miss out, all right? I know there's a bunch of you, but I've talked to most of you already. If I haven't talked to you already, you're going to get snagged at some point here in a few minutes and be reminded of youth group time frame. The other big thing, just to pay attention real quick in your bulletins, no prayer meeting, no Wednesday night class this week, because this week is our members meeting. Church business meeting this Wednesday. You want to be here, you want to make sure you're seeing all the different things going on, all the business of the church. We want you to be involved. Make sure you show up for that. Last thing I will remind everybody is today is also First Sunday Kids. So right after worship service, all of the kids K through 4, they're going to be going downstairs and into that classroom. There's also a men's night coming up. There's a sign-up sheet on the above the water cooler. If you have any questions, make sure you reach out. We're happy to help. Outside of that, I got nothing else other than read your bulletins.
All right, thank you, Richie. You guys, please stand and we continue with worship.
Oh,
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've lifted me from the mighty flames, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Running after me.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been all my life you have been so, you're so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Ourselves to you this day. We give ourselves to you, Lord. We want to be an instrument of worship that glorifies and honors you in all things that we do. So, Lord, we come and offer this worship to you. We pray that it's a sweet, sweet fragrance to you. And, Lord, that we sing this and give this from a heart of love, a heart that is committed to you. So, Lord, be pleased with this worship. Be pleased with our giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, that you will bless both the gift and the giver, Lord, that because of these gifts, your gospel could be preached literally around the world. So, Lord, we also thank you that you bless these gifts to support the ministries here at Open Door, and that you will bless those who are serving in those ministries. And so, Lord, we just lift this up to you as an act of worship of giving. And so, Lord, as always, as we come to the hearing of your word, Lord, that I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and Lord, that you would have mercy upon me, and that you would bring glory to yourself, Lord. The reason we are here, Lord, is to glorify you. And Lord, we also ask that you use this word to edify your body, that you would build them up, they would come to an understanding of who you are and who we are. So Lord, we lift this whole entire service up to you as a praise offering. And Lord, if I'm going to say something or speak something that's not true or out of context or not right, I ask that you would silence my lips and rise up the one to speak for you this day. I pray this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Be seated.
You have been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
How is everyone today? I see you're unstricken. Carol and Mike were stricken with the same thing that I was stricken with, and a few of you others were stricken with it as well. We want you all to keep it now. No offense taken, right? I mean, but listen, don't want it no more, right? Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and like I told you, the blessings are going to keep coming, and they are. And so at this time, I want to ask Danica if you will come forward. Danica is placing herself before you in view of membership here at Open Door Baptist Church. So with that being said, I've talked to Danica and talked to Danica and talked to Danica. I like to talk, don't I? Yeah. See, she's got this pastoral authority thing down already. See? Yeah, nothing, just leave it alone. But listen, she has come to place herself for church membership. And so as I talked with her, we went over some questions. And these questions she needs to be in agreement with the church with. So, Danica, have you read and agree with the church's constitution and bylaws?
Yes.
Do you agree to attend church regularly?
Yes.
Do you agree to support the church regularly through financial support?
Yes.
Do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time?
Yes.
That's good because you start today. Do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word?
Yes.
Do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church?
Yes.
We had a long conversation about that. I could not get her to jump no matter what I told her. Do you agree to love the church and promote unity and fellowship among the believers, the members? Yes. Have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Open Door Baptist Church members, I'm going to ask you some questions that you need to agree with as well. Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to recognize Danica Ramsey as a member of Open Door Baptist Church? If you agree with this, please stand. Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to love Danica as a member of this church and make her feel welcome and accepted as an accepted member of this family? If you agree, say, I will. Open Door Baptist Church members, do you agree to hold Danica accountable in love to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I do. Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to be accountable? Do you all members, do you agree to be accountable to Danica as a member of this church family? If you agree, say, I do. Amen. Well, welcome to the family. God bless you. You may be seated. It is a blessing today to see our children taking those next steps, because you know all of us won't be here forever, but they're going to be here a lot longer than we are. Amen. We hope, right? That's our prayer, right? So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Malachi chapter 3. God first in everything, and this is week 2. This morning I want to finish the second part of last week's message on tithing. Now, as I said before, I'm not preaching for money, I'm preaching about money. I want to be very clear about that, all right? I don't know of any financial distress that we're in of any kind that I know of anything, and I would probably be one of the first ones to know that. So I'm not preaching for it, I'm preaching about money. And I know that whenever a pastor begins talking about money, which last time was probably about 12 years ago, okay, literally, it's been a long time. I don't talk about this a lot, but anytime whenever a pastor begins talking about money, giving, and tithing, there are probably a lot of different thoughts that go through people's minds. Some people get uncomfortable. Some people get defensive. Some people think, here we go again. The church wants my money. And just for clarification, that's not true, okay? And some people may even wonder why we need to spend 2 weeks talking about something like this. But I want to remind you of something we established last week. And if you didn't hear last week, a lot of people were out with sickness and traveling. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to last week's sermon, if you would. This will make a lot more sense to you. But we established last week, this isn't really a message about money. This is truly a message about God. It's about who God is. It's about what God has entrusted to us. It's about what we do with what God has given us. And most importantly, it's about whether or not we trust Him in all things. This is about our faith in Him. And last week we talked about the priority of tithing, that God deserves our first and our best and not our leftovers. Amen? Yeah, amen? Oh, come on. Yeah, we're talking about something we don't want to amen a whole lot on, right? But listen, he deserves our first and our best. We looked at the fact that tithing didn't suddenly appear when the law was given. Remember, the principle was already being practiced long before the law. We also talked about the principle of tithing, the trust principle. We talked about that under the law, God's people were commanded to give the tithe as an act of obedience and an act of trust. And I reminded you that we don't live under the law, that we live under grace, right? But here's something that we need to understand about grace. Grace doesn't lower the standard of generosity. Grace raises the bar on our generosity. So the question isn't simply, what is the least I have to give? Because that's what we think. This is what's the minimum that I have to give? What is the least I have to give? The question is, what does God want me to do with what He has entrusted me with? That's the real question. What does God want me to do with what He has entrusted me with? And that's where I want to pick up this morning, because it's one thing to understand the priority of giving. It's one thing to understand that. It's another thing to understand the principle of giving. But eventually, every one of us has to answer the questions. Do I trust God enough to actually do it? Do I trust God enough to actually do it? Because giving is ultimately an act of faith. That every time we give, we're saying, God, I believe You can do more with what remains in my hands than I could do with all of it. Right? That's what He's saying. He's saying, God, I believe, that's our trust, that's our faith. God, I believe You can do more with what remains in my hands than I can do with all of it in my hands. We are saying, God, You are first. We are saying, God, You are my provider. We are saying, God, I trust You. So wherever you were last week, whether you agreed with everything I said or not, or whether you still are wrestling with it, whether you've been tithing for years or whether you've never tithed at all, I want you to do one thing this morning. I want you to do one thing. I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to open your heart and let God's word speak for itself. Don't take what I say, take what God says. You don't care what I say, but you should care what God says. Amen? So open your hearts and let God's word speak for itself, because this isn't about what I think. It's about what God has said. Actually, when talking to Danica this morning, I told Danica, I said, you don't care what I think. And I said, I don't care what you think. Now keep it in perspective, all right? But you do care, and I care what God says. Amen? Okay. So, and if we really believe that God is who He says He is, then the question isn't whether can we trust Him. So that's not the question. If we believe who He says He is, it isn't whether we can trust Him or not, right? The question is this, will we? That's where the question comes, will we trust Him? Again, I'm not preaching for money, I'm preaching about money. So first I want to look at this. I want to point number one, the promise of tithing. The promise of tithing. This morning I want to look at some text in the book of Malachi. And before we do, I just want to give you a brief background on Malachi, just very brief. Malachi was a prophet commissioned by God to come and speak to a group of Jews who had returned to their homeland to recover their temple and rebuild the city, which had been destroyed by an enemy, right? So all these Jews come back, they're rebuilding the temple, they're rebuilding the city, and God sends Malachi to them, a prophet to them, right? And this was at a time, right? This was all during a time when famine and depression was great in the nation. The economy was bad. People were stretched thin. The Israelites had been in captivity for some 70 years, and they came back into the land, their land, right? They came back to their land, and as a result, there was a kind of mini revival going on. The people were excited to be free, right? They were all excited. I mean, they were excited to be returning home, but it didn't take long for the people to start doing things against God. So God sent Malachi to them, kind of like when Moses went up on the mount, right? The people down below start building a golden calf, right? It's kind of the same idea here. So God sent Malachi to them, and Malachi was the type of guy who really didn't pull any punches. Meaning this, he said it like it was, whether people liked it or not. In fact, in the back of my study Bible, it says this: nothing is known of the prophet Malachi's life, although his style is forceful and unusual. So obviously, Malachi didn't care what anyone thought. He wasn't afraid to step on your toes, per se. Malachi was a say-it-like-it-is kind of guy, and we can see this throughout his entire book. If you read it, for instance, Malachi 1, chapter 1, verse 6, Malachi accused the Jewish people of dishonoring God's name. That's pretty serious, right? Dishonoring God's name. He accused them of that. He also, in chapter 2, of intermarrying with unbelievers. All right, and then chapter 2 again, he also warned him about divorce, talked to him about divorce. And in verse, and then chapter 3 of sorcery, impurity, adultery, and lying, right? And then in chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, he accuses them of robbery. In fact, turn with me to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and I ask you to read with me, if you will. Look what it starts with, a question. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. So Malachi is writing this, but it's also as if God is actually sitting there speaking this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Now, you look at that because, watch, you remember Cain and Abel. We talked about them last week, right? God was satisfied with one, and then what happened to the other? And he rejected him, right? Right? Remember that? So there was a curse that came along with that, right? One killed the other. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? The storehouse would be the temple, would be the church. Right? That's what he's talking about here. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Some people say, well, if I give to this ministry over here and I support that ministry down the street and I support this ministry over here and this one over Steubenville, one over in Weirton, one over here. That's not what that means. And I'm going to show you this. There, look, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So let me explain what's going on here. Malachi accused the people of robbing God, and that's a pretty serious accusation, right? And then the people ask how we rob God, and Malachi says, in your tithes and offerings. Now, the problem with the people of Malachi's day was this. They wanted the blessing from God, but they didn't want to go through the proper process to get the blessing. Let me say that again. They wanted the blessing from God, but they didn't want to go through the proper process to get the blessing from God. Look, it's not much different than us today. A lot of us have this same exact mentality. Listen, we want to have a little personal sacrifice. We want to have a little personal sacrifice, but receive great blessings. You want an example of that? The lottery. We want to go put a dollar down, but we want to win $1 billion, right? We want to go put $5 down, but we want to win $1.3 billion, right? That we want to put a little personal sacrifice, but we want a huge blessing back. Now, let me tell you what the people were doing. Look over in chapter 1 and verse 8, and Malachi says this, Malachi 1:8. He says, "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil?" If you're not giving what's required, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick what you don't want, what's left over, what's trash, what's garbage, right? When you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. So when your taxes come, you just look at that tax bill and say, well, I spent too much on the TVs. I spent too much on vacation. I spent too much in this. I spent too much in that. So you know what? I know that they're asking me for $4,000, but I think $800 will do. And you just mail that in and you say, well, I'm good. Right? That's what he's saying. Offer that to the governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? What do you think? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Do you see what the do you see what they were doing was they were going through the outward principle of tithing. Now remember, in this day they didn't have money to offer God. Instead, they tithed with grain and animals. So what they were doing is bringing their tithe to the temple. And what they were doing was this: they were bringing in their blind and sick animals, animals that were all used up, animals that really had no value to them. What they were bringing to God had little or no value. What they were bringing was what was left over. And they had taken the best for themselves. If you remember last week, I started out with a question: should God be first in everything? They were bringing what was least, not what was best. And Malachi said, why don't you try offering that junk to the governor? Why don't you try getting away with that? You're doing it with God. Why don't you try it with the governor? And honestly, we've all done that from time to time, haven't we? Haven't we brought to God what's left? Haven't we added everything up on the calculator, added everything up for ourselves? I need this, I need that, I got to do this, I got to pay that, I got to do this. And even the government taxes, we pay our taxes, we pay what is due, what they ask us, right? And I think to myself, if I have anything left over, I'll give some to God. It looks like this. Now listen, aren't you feeling good now? It looks like this. And the reason I know it looks like this, because this was me. This was me. I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at me. It looks like this at the time of offering. When it's time to take up the offering, you scrounge through your wallet or purse to find something to put in the offering plate. But first, you want to make sure you have enough money for lunch. So you look and now see, you see what's left and what you put and whatever you have left over, what you think you're going to be good on, that's what you put in the offering plate. And you mainly do this, right? You mainly do this so that you're not embarrassed that others would see you not putting anything into the plate. Listen, I'm not saying, oh, you, I'm saying, oh, me. That was me. Well, you know what? God doesn't want your leftovers. Just keep it. God doesn't want your leftovers. God wants to be first in every area of your life in all things. He wants to be your top priority. Remember last week, Genesis 4, verse 4, Abel brought the firstborn of his flock, and it was Abel's offering that was accepted by God, and Cain's wasn't. Right? You see that? Because one gave out of the best, the other one gave out of whatever he could muster up. Remember, God wants to be first. He wants to be your top priority. Do you know what that means? It means that before anything else, before you calculate on paper or calculate in paper or in your head how your finances are going to work out, you need to ask yourself this question: is God first in my life? That's a hard question. Is God first in my life? And if he's not, the question would go, do I want him to be? And if you say God is first, then you need to treat him like he's first. He needs to come before the cable bill. Listen, it's one thing for me as a husband, right? It's one thing for me as a husband to tell Dawn that this, she's first in my life, right? By the way, 44 years yesterday. I know, right? She is so blessed. I'm just telling you, she hit the jackpot. She invested a little and she got a lot. No, 44 years yesterday, amen? I love her to pieces, man. I just do. But it's one thing for me as a husband to tell Dawn that she's first in my life. But if I don't treat her that way, right? If I don't treat her that way, if I am constantly putting my own needs and wants before hers, then I'm not really putting her first now, right? I'm not really putting her first now, am I? Right? Listen, look at your own relationships. How many of you want your spouse to put you before themselves? How many of you want to be first to your spouse? Because, listen, this is all based in relationship. All of this is relationship, right? So, am I really putting her first, right? And I think that sometimes God is a little bit tired of us walking around in the church saying that he's first, but not treating him that way. You understand what I'm saying there? Understand, God wants to be treated like he's number one, right? He's number one. Not just in lip service, but in action. So how do you treat God like he's number one? There's the question. How do you treat God like he's number one when it comes to your finances? Well, when you get your paycheck, do you write his check out first? Now, I know all you younger ones are saying, what's a check? We still use checks. When you look at your bank statements and you get these withdrawals, right? I guess that's how you would say it today. When you get your paycheck, do you write his check out first? Do you consider God first or last? And listen, I would not teach you something that I'm not doing myself. Now, that's the other side of this. Remember the permission I gave you all last week, right? You can go ask Bob. I've given Bob the right to turn over my giving records, and I'll give you my tax returns. I will not preach to something to you that you should do that I'm not doing myself. I promise you that, right? Our first check each month, Don and I's first check each month is to God. Before anything else, it goes to God. Now, we do that, right, through Open Door Baptist Church, one of God's earthly storehouses, right? We're one of them. I say it like this: you should pay where you eat. I'm trying to feed you the Word of God. You're trying to take that in. You're feeding on the Word of God, right? You should pay where you eat. Bring it to the storehouse that you belong to, that you worship in, the one that you attend. Listen, I don't go to McDonald's and order my meal and walk over to Wendy's and pay it. You see that? Pay where you eat. And when you do that, when you write that first check out to him each month, right, or whatever, however you do it, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I put you above everything else. I support your work first. I support your kingdom work here on this earth first. Understand, this shows God where he's at on your priority list in your life. Now, he already knows what that is. You understand that. He already knows. He's showing you where your priority list is on your life, where he is on your priority list, right? When we write God that first check every month, it reminds us that he's number one. That is what for us. He reminds us that he's number one. Tithing is a way to have our values and our priorities reconfirmed to us on a regular basis. Tithing isn't to show God where we're at. Tithing is to show us where we're at. Because every time we write that check, we remind ourselves, God is first. I'm treating him as number one. We're saying, God, I trust you. I trust you, God. What does the dollar bill say? In God we what? In God we trust, right? You're saying, with the money you have given me, Lord, I trust you. And when we trust God, then God wants to bless us personally, Now, we're going to be careful with this, all right? Because I am not a health and wealth prosperity gospel preacher. I am not that. I don't think it's true, and I do not think it's right, plain and simple. Biblically, there's no support for that. But when we trust God, God wants to bless us personally. Look at verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not into that whole, like I just said, I'll give to you, God, for what I can get out of it. I'm going to give because I'm expecting to give something out of it. Let me tell you how it works, and remember this. We don't own anything here. God, creator of all, owns it all. Amen? But he does let us manage it. And he simply asks for a small portion of it back, right? And as managers of his money, when he sees that we are faithful in managing the small things, then guess what? He gives us more to manage. That's the blessing. Look at it this way. If you were a manager of a store, he's not there. I was going to point Richie out. But if you're a manager of a store, right, and you had an assistant manager under you, you're a manager of a store, you have an assistant manager under you, would you trust the assistant manager with more if he or she hadn't managed what you had already given them to manage? Would you do that? They weren't doing it right. They weren't being faithful about what you given them to manage. Would you give them more responsibility to manage? Well, the answer in good management would be what? No. You would not trust someone with more responsibility if they couldn't handle less. You wouldn't give them more if they can't handle less. Neither would God. He will not give us the greater things as Christians spiritually, and now watch, as Christians spiritually, God will not give us the greater things if we're not responsible with the little things. That's scriptural, by the way. Tithing is being faithful and trusting God. It's spiritual. Now listen, I'm not telling you to tithe because it's a responsibility. I'm not even saying that you should tithe because I said so. I'm not telling you that. What I'm saying is that if you don't, you are shortchanging yourself. You're robbing yourself of the blessing that God has promised, blessings that he already has stored up for you. Oh, you may have more here. I'm going to be careful how I walk through this. You may have more here temporarily, but what will you have for eternity when God hands out your rewards? What will you have eternally when God hands out your rewards? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. What's the first fruit? The tithe of all your crops, right? That's what it would have been there, right? With your money, right? Look at verse 10. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So yes, God wants to bless you materially. He is saying here, you trust me with the first 10%. This is what he's saying. You trust me with the first 10%, and watch what I do with the 90% that's left in the other hand. Just watch what I do with that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says this, and this passage is dealing with money, by the way. Look what it says. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. Spiritual, you see it? Understand, God wants to pour out his blessing on all who are faithful to him. And then look back at verse 12, Malachi 3:12. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Do you understand that God also wants to bless us spiritually? Listen, Open Door. I felt that I needed to bring this message to you because individually, I want you to be blessed. Each one of you individually, I want you to be blessed. I desire for you to be blessed. But also corporately, I want us to be blessed. And spiritually, I want us to be blessed. Spiritually, that we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. But think about this. when we open door, become a generous, tithing body of believers, can you imagine what God will do with us? I mean, think about really, what do you think? Can you imagine what God will do with us? That not only will God bless each of us individually, personally, but he will bless us corporately, materially, and spiritually as a body so that we can accomplish kingdom tasks, that we can accomplish kingdom work, spiritual works that will extend and exist all the way into eternity. Talk about an investment program, right? Don't we invest our money because we want to get a good return on our money? Look at this investment program. What better thing could you invest in than the kingdom work of God? Because it's the only thing that will last to eternity. Your bank account is not going to go with you. Just saying, right? So when we tithe, we share in God's kingdom plan. That's the blessing right there. We share in God's kingdom plan. And let me just ask you this. Is there any other better plan to invest in than God's kingdom plan? I mean, ask yourself that. A plan that is way bigger than anything we could ever accomplish by ourselves. Now, again, I want to be careful. Does that mean we get more money, that you will win the lottery, that if I faithful in tithing and I'm going to win the lottery? That is not what I'm saying. Please do not walk out of here thinking that. That is not what I'm saying. What it means is that God will bless the other 90% or teach you how to manage it better. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the promise, Open Door. Personal blessings, spiritual blessings, both individually and corporately, for those who trust in and invest in God. The promise is that all things God will send his blessing. Amen? Now let me show you point number two. Let me show you the problem of not tithing, right? And I want to make sure you understand that I'm not preaching simply, hey, you didn't give 10%. I'm not. What I'm really trying to relay is, what does my unwillingness to obey God reveal about my trust in God? Let me say it again. What does my unwillingness to obey God reveal about my trust in God? Look at verse 9, Malachi 3:9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now let me be very careful here. I need to be very careful here. I'm not standing here telling you that every financial problem in your life is because you're not tithing. I am not saying that at all. Because listen, there are godly people who go through some really difficult financial difficulties. Amen? There are faithful Christians who experience sickness, loss, unemployment, unexpected expenses, and seasons of just genuine hardship. We all know this, right? So I'm not saying that if you're having financial problems, it's because you've robbed God. That's not the point. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm trying to relay here. The point is that when God has clearly spoken to us about how we are to handle what he has entrusted to us, and we knowingly refuse to obey him, the problem is way bigger than money. It's way bigger than money, because is money evil? What's evil about money? The love of it, right? The problem, as I expressed last week, is not this. The problem with this is trust. It all comes down to trust. Do I trust God enough to obey him when obedience costs me something? Oh. Do I trust God enough to obey him when obedience costs me something? Do I trust him when the numbers don't seem to work? Do I trust him when I don't know what's coming next? That's the real test right there. Now, the truth is that sometimes in order to tithe, you may have to give up something else that you'd like to do. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you may not have to make some sacrifices, because most likely you will. I most definitely did. I personally had to do that. Because sometimes trusting God means that we have to make some choices. Amen? We have to make a choice to follow Christ, right? right? So sometimes trusting God means that we have to make some choices. Sometimes those choices are hard, and sometimes they're difficult, and maybe that's part of God teaching you how to manage the other 90%. Did you ever think of that? He's teaching you something. How do I handle the other 90%? I don't know how that will look for you, but I know how it looked for me. But here's what I know. Blessings will come if we are obedient in tithing, because look at what verse 10 says, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Try me. Let me repeat that. Try me now in this. Now, church, don't miss what God is saying here. God isn't simply giving them a command. He's giving them a promise. It's not a command. He's giving them a promise. He says, bring the tithe and try me now in this. Put me to the test. Try me in this. Give it to me with a willing heart. Oh, I told you before, if you're not doing it willingly, just keep it. Give it with a willing heart. Give it with a trusting heart. Not because I've asked you to do so, but because God has asked you to do so. But whatever you do, please listen to me. Whatever you do, don't give it out of obligation. God knows the... In other words, God is saying, trust me enough to take me at my word. That's what he's saying. Trust me enough to take me at my word. Have faith in me, not your money. Oh, but pastor. No, but God. Have faith in me, not your money. That's what he's trying to say. And that's what makes this so different from simply writing a check. God is asking for faith. He's asking us to believe that he is who he says he is, and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, and that he will do whatever it takes that he needs to do, and that he can be trusted with what he has placed in your hands. So the first thing I want us to understand this morning is this: God's promise is not simply that he will give us more. His promise is that he will be faithful. That's the promise. That at the heart of our finances is our faith. Our faith is in God and not in ourselves. And that's hard. It really truly is. And when we discover that God is faithful, something begins to change inside of us, and the problem is no longer a problem because we learn to trust him. There was another gentleman, I'm not going to call him out, but there was another gentleman in this church, him and I, was with a younger guy who was a new believer, and this topic actually came up. We were out to dinner, and this topic actually came up, and I loved how the other guy was talking to him. He says, you know, you got to learn how to honor God with your money. It's like a discipleship moment. He says, you got to learn how to honor God with your money. He says, you know, he says, I never tithed for a big part of my life. He says, but now I tithe. He says, and once you get it, he says, once you get that concept, that principle, once you get it, he says, you will never stop. How do you know that you're saved? You know because it's inside. It's spiritual, right? And that's what he was telling him. He's saying, look, I put him to the test. And this wasn't me. That was him speaking to this younger man. And he says, once you get it, he says, once you understand it, once you get it, once you put him to that, he says, you'll never stop. Because why? It's spiritual, right? Listen, let me get to point number three. Let's look at the prize. You want something good now, right? Let's look at the prize. Now, you might think that the prize is more money. That's what a lot of people think. That's the health wealth concept, right? You might think that the prize is more money. You might think the prize is that God will somehow make your bank account bigger, right? That he's just going to prosper you over the top, prosper you, right? But I don't believe that is the greatest prize. I don't think that's the greatest prize, because the greatest prize is trust. The greatest prize is that I know that I can trust God. What money can buy that? Right? The greatest prize is trust, because when you learn to trust God with your finances, you begin to discover that you can trust Him with every other area of your life. Everything. Right? Not just part, but in whole. You learn that God is really your provider. You learn that He really does know what you need. You learn that you don't have to live your life afraid that you won't have enough, right? You learn that you can open your hand, right? You can put your hand, you don't have to go like this, but you can open your hand because you know the one who holds your future, amen? He holds all of it. The whole world is where? In His hands, right? Who's in the world? Me? We are, right? Right? That's the prize. Not simply that God gives you more. Has He not given you enough? Has He not given you enough? He didn't give you what was left. He gave it all. All of it. He gave you His Son, Jesus Christ. And whom we trust with our eternal future. Not simply that God gives you more, right? The prize is that you learn to trust God, who already gave you everything you have and will have now and all the way through eternity. Listen, the people that I know who are faithful in giving are people who know the blessing of God in their life. They have trusted God, just like that guy was telling the younger the believer, right? They have trusted God, and that really is the true prize, folks, learning to trust God. And because of that, because I trust God, I now give joyfully. I'm not giving because I'm obligated to do that. I'm not. I don't. I won't. But now that I trust God with every aspect of my life, with everything I've given Him, including my future, I give joyfully and I give generously, not out of obligation or have to. When you have to do something, you will always rebel against it. But when you're willingly doing something, you will want to do it. There's a big difference in that. You understand? So not out of obligation. I give because I want to. I want to honor God. I want to honor God first in every aspect of my life. I can sit here and tell you that I have learned over a period of time, I have learned to trust God in everything. And that was not easy. I'm just like you. So Open Door, I'm going to challenge each of you to begin now to test God and try God in this area, not because I told you to, but because He told you to. In His Word, He told you to do that, right? Trust Him. Try God in this area of your life and tithing and giving. Because listen, I did this and I tested God in this back in the 1980s is when I tested Him. And I have never stopped and I don't plan to stop ever. And trust me when I tell you, His Word never comes back void. It won't come back void. It never comes back void. He said that. I didn't. I tested God in this, and God's blessing has never stopped upon my life. Listen, I've already told you, me and my family tested God in this, and now we will never stop because God has, watch, God has proven His promise that He set forth in His Word. He's proven it to us. Do you think God would ask you to test Him in something that He isn't going to prove to you? Let me tell you, there were times when there was no way. I'm going to tell you, there were many times that there was no way we could meet all of our bills. The math just didn't add up, but yet when we did the math in some miraculous way, it added up. What's 2 plus 2? What's 2 plus 2? You know, 2 + 2 to God can be anything He wants it to be. It could be anything that He wants it to be. His math is not our math. His way is not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Get me preaching. Listen, we did, in some miraculous way, it always added up. It came to be. You will never really understand what God can do unless you put Him to the test. You'll never know. So try it, right? So listen, I got one more point, and it's going to go quick. Here's point number 4, the practice of tithing. So how do we put all this into practice? How do we do this? How do we start? How do we get this into practice? Because it's one thing to hear God's word, right? It's one thing to stand here and listen to me, the preachers, tell you what God's word says. It's one thing to hear God's word. It's another thing to believe God's word. Big difference. There's a big difference in hearing and believing. But eventually, we have to, as Christians, we have to live God's word. And that's where giving becomes more than a number. Giving becomes more than a number. Giving becomes a practice. It's something we deliberately choose to do because we have deliberately chosen to trust God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says this, "Let each one give as he prospers in his heart." Let each one prosper as he gives in his heart. Now, I've already explained to you that 10% is the starting point, not the ending point. It's the starting point. Listen, let each one give as he prospers in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, not out of obligation, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, that phrase, as he purposes, is the verb pro-arame, as he purposes. It's found only here in this verse in the New Testament. It's the only place it's found. It means to choose deliberately or to make up one's own mind about something. That's what it means. Paul says that giving is to be based on a calculated, deliberate decision. You think it through. You've prayed about it. You thought about it. Paul says it is to be based on a calculated, deliberate decision. It's not a matter to be settled lightly or impulsively. It's something that you just don't go, oh, they're taking up an offering today. But notice what he doesn't say. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say give because somebody pressured you. Doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, somebody pressured you, so you need to give. He doesn't say give because you're embarrassed if you don't. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say give because the pastor made you feel guilty, which I pray to God I have not done. I would never purposely, intentionally do that. I'm trying to tell you what God's word says. Amen? And God says give as he purposes in his heart. Giving is a decision. It's intentional. It's deliberate. And ultimately, it's personal. Nobody else can trust God for you. I can't trust God for you. You can't trust God for me. Nobody can trust God for you. Nobody else can make the decision for you. You have to decide where you stand. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So church, let me bring this all together, all right? Let me bring this all together. We spent 2 weeks talking about tithing. Right? We've taken the time to look at this. We've talked about the priority of putting God first. We've talked about the principle. We've talked about the trust principle and trusting God. We've talked about God's promise, right? We've talked about the problem that comes when we refuse to trust Him. We've talked about the prize, not simply the blessing of what God may put back into your hands, but the great blessing of learning to trust Him. And we've talked about putting that trust into practice. But when you boil it all down, it all simmers down. This is not about 10% at all. It's not what this is about.
you know what it's about? It's about 100%. Because God doesn't want just 10% of your money. Watch how I word this. He doesn't just want 10% of your money. He wants all of you. All of you. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your talents. He wants your plans. He wants your future. He wants your family. He wants your finances. He wants your life. And that's why Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus didn't say your treasure would follow your heart. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't say your treasure would follow your heart. He said your heart will follow your treasure. So what we do with what God has placed into our hands tells us something about what is happening in our hearts. You get the connection there? What he places in our hands tells us something about a connection to what's happening in our hearts. So maybe this morning the question am I a tither? Maybe the better question is this: do I trust God? Do I trust him when I have plenty? Do I trust him when things are tight? Do I trust him when I see the way forward? When I can see out and I know the way and I see the way forward? Do I trust him when I can't see what's going to happen tomorrow? Do I trust him with 90%? Do I trust him with the 10%? Do I trust him with everything? Because here's what I know. If I can trust him with my eternity, I can most assuredly, certainly trust him with my finances. If I can trust him to save my soul, I most certainly can trust him with my present. And if I truly believe that everything I have came from him, then I don't have to, listen, I don't have to live my life with a clenched fist. I can live my life with open hands. And when my hand is open, watch this. When my hand is open, then God can use what he's placed in it. He can't use it here, but he can use it here. Get that? He can use my money. He can use my time. He can use my talents. He can use my resources. I had somebody come up to me last week and say something, you know, well, I give my time. Okay, well, I'm going to give my time. Let's all give our time. Let's all tithe our time. Let's all do that and just stop giving anything to the church. Yeah, I've seen a couple people laugh. How long do you think that's going to work? Not very long, right? He wants all of it. He wants all of it, right? He can use my resources, right? We are to be willing to do all of these, right? We are to be willing to do all of these, not just one of them, while leaving the others undone. You remember Matthew 23:23? He said, listen, you've done these, but you've neglected these. He said, you should have done them all. That's what Jesus said that. I didn't. He said, you should have done them all. And that's what it is really about. This is not about money. It's about trust. It's not about an offering. It's about worship. It's not about an obligation. It's about a privilege. Not what God wants from your wallet, but what God wants from your heart. So this morning, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you to trust Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do that. Trust Jesus. And not just trust him with your money. Trust him with all of your life. Your whole life. And everything in it. Even your soul. So that means if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to surrender your life to him. Trust him. Believe in him. Follow him. Give yourself to him. Ask him to forgive you your sins, to come into your life and to save you. But listen to me, Christians, maybe you've already trusted him with salvation, but there are other areas of your life where you're still holding on to. You're holding back.
Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your talents. Maybe it's your service. Maybe it's your family. I don't know. Maybe it's something nobody else knows about, but God knows. And maybe today he's simply asking you to open your heart and open your hands and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to test it. So I'm not going to ask you this morning to simply make a financial decision. That's not what I'm asking you to do at all. I'm asking you to make a faith decision. Decide that God will be first. Decide that you will trust him. Decide that what he has placed in your hands will be used for his glory, not 10%, 100%. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning, listen to me very carefully. Do not ignore him. Don't ignore him. Come. Come and surrender your life to Christ. Every aspect, every area of your life. Come and surrender it. Come and surrender the area of your life you've been holding on to. Come and say, Lord, I trust you. Because when you can finally open your hands and trust the one who holds everything, that's when giving stops being a duty and starts becoming worship. Giving is an act of worship. And that with a cheerful heart. I am happy. I'm elated to give to the Lord's work. I can't wait to give to the Lord's work. And you think, what's wrong with you? Not a thing. I trust God. How about you? Father God, thank you for your word today. Father, I know this has been a hard couple weeks, but Lord, it's something that I've been putting off for a long, long time, but you put it on my heart and wouldn't let it off. So Lord, I pray that I glorified you above all things. I glorified you. I pray that this word edified your body. And then, Lord, I pray that we have some decisions to make about trust. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move mightily in the hearts of every single person in this place. It's not just about giving. It's about trusting you. So, Lord, we just want to do that with no restraint. No restraint, but that you have all of us just as you gave us all of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That is what you hold as you walk out these doors. Remember, Christ is everything in our life, right? He is everything. Go show the world Jesus Christ. It might be the only Jesus they ever see. Amen? Amen? But listen, I want to see you something over here. Here, come, stand up. Stand up. Their family got off a cruise. They had a 70s night. You come out around that drum. I want him to see. You got to see this guy's shoes, dude. This guy is rocking in the real world. Look at those, huh? Huh? Donna asked Pam, and she goes, did you do the Farrah Fawcett hair? And she goes, I don't like big hair. Donna's all about the big hair. But listen, it looked like a lot of fun, but we're glad you're back. Amen. Oh, thank you. Glad you enjoyed yourself. So, listen, even if they show Jesus dressing like the 70s, you can do it today in the 2000s. Amen? Amen. Get out of here. You listen to me enough, all right? Thank you for coming. I love you all. Bye.
You are.